Welcome. Thank you for taking part of your time as this Christmas crush is upon us so quickly to share with us at MCC today. We love you. Thank you for joining us. Have you ever walked into a recently cleaned plate glass door? Missed it. Have you ever been in a hurry and not paying attention and found yourself trying to push a door that said, pull? Missed it. Have you ever tried to get out of your car with your seatbelt still on? Missed it. I tried to get off an airplane once with my seatbelt still on. Drug that airplane right down the terminal. Wing was knocking people over. We missed the boat. We missed the bus. We missed the plane. We missed the deadline. We missed the point. We missed the shot. We missed the putt. From missed opportunities to missed appointments, people miss a lot of things. We are wrapping up our Christmas sermon series. See what I did there? Wrapping up our Christmas series. Took you a few moments there. This series is Don't Miss Christmas. We've looked at the king who missed Christmas. And then we looked at the religious leaders who missed Christmas. Last Sunday, we were challenged by our youth with some cake and tempted after service with more cake. Christmas acts of kindness experiment. And wasn't that great? You guys did a great job. Great job. Today we conclude with a look at the town that missed Christmas. Actually, it could be said the world that missed Christmas. John chapter 1 says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet, to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Watch this short video about Don't Miss Christmas.
Hey, Ed. Come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper at Levitate.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
Ow!
So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
Oh, no. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last. And what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, dulcimo. Slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Say it!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're going to march in here, and you're going to watch my star levitate.
Fine.
Do it. Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
People do try to replace Jesus even at Christmas, don't they? Hotels and restaurants love to boast of celebrities who have stayed there or eaten there. You've been to many of them. Some have pictures of the owners with these celebrities hanging on their walls. Yukon, Oklahoma, where we used to preach, was known as the birthplace of Garth Brooks. He grew up there, graduated school there. He went on to be one of the most successful country singers in history. When he was in Champaign just a couple of years ago, due to unprecedented ticket sales, they added an extra performance. UConn welcomes visitors with signs boasting of being his hometown. He has a street named after him. His name, as you can see, is prominently displayed on the city's water tower. And the local Wendy's, which was his favorite restaurant to eat at there, has a booth reserved for him. I tried to tell them, he ain't coming back. Not to this Wendy's, okay? UConn just reveres, as it were, Garth Brooks. Imagine the stories Bethlehem could have told if only they had known who was there that night. Or the stories the innkeeper could have told if only he had known who it was that came to his inn seeking a place to sleep. I can see the signs as you come into town. Bethlehem, birthplace of God. And the inn, oh, it could have advertised for centuries. The world's number one hotel, chosen by God Himself. Or perhaps Bethlehem's holy hotel where Jesus laid down His sweet head. And though we can pick out and even pick on a select few who missed Christmas that first year, the truth is the whole town missed it. The people of Bethlehem, by and large, missed the greatest birth in all eternity because they were so concerned with their own needs, their own busy, full, and burdened lives. They were too busy to be bothered by this young couple. Sometimes we are indifferent to the most important news of all. Yeah, Jesus came to earth, God in the flesh. I've heard the story 100 times. I know He died on a cross for our sins. I'm supposed to accept Him as my Savior. Yada, yada, yada. There are people who will admit those truths, but just don't want to bother with doing anything about it. To be fair, Caesar Augustus had just issued a decree for a census to be taken and a tax levied on the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. Our census is coming up next year. April 1st is Census Day. You can register online. They couldn't. You can mail it in. They couldn't. Someone will come to your door. No one did then. They had to go. So I understand. They had to leave work. They had to leave family. They had to go to where they were born to register for this census and to pay their taxes. So, Bethlehem, like every other city, was abuzz with visitors and activities. I imagine it would be fair to say there were so many Jewish pilgrims in Bethlehem that first Christmas, the city probably had a very difficult time trying to cope. The shops were probably short on supplies. There were so many Jewish folks running around town that there were few places to feed and water your animals, let alone each other. And yes, there was no room in the inn for anybody. And because of all the stuff going on around them, the whole town missed Christmas. What they missed was the incarnation. They missed God becoming flesh. In many a town in 2019, people will again miss the true meaning of Christmas because their lives are so full of other stuff. I heard about a man who bought his wife a diamond ring for Christmas. When he showed his friend the ring he had bought for his wife, his friend said, "But I thought she wanted a new four-wheel drive car for Christmas." And the man said, "Yeah, I know, but where was I going to find a fake four-wheel drive car?" He just got it, didn't he? Did you have to explain that to him? I made a mistake in your notes last week, so let me correct it today. Herod's problem, remember, was he had no place for Jesus. He was king. He didn't need a king. There was no place in his place, in his town, in his life, in his kingdom for another king. He had no place for Jesus. The religious leaders' problem was they had no need for Jesus. They hadn't heard from God in over 400 years. They had come up with their own system of religion, as it were, because think about this, when the Old Testament closes, 400 years later, when the New Testament begins, there was at the end no Sanhedrin, no Pharisees and Sadducees. But when you open the pages 400 years later, there's all that stuff. They've got a religious system second to none. They had their own. They didn't need God to come along and tell them, "You've heard it said." Now, who had said those things? Well, the Pharisees and Sadducees. "You've heard it said, but I say to you." Well, they didn't need that. The townspeople's problem was they had no time for Jesus. Now, this series of messages has been all about the very first Christmas and the amazing number of people who missed it. But I want to really conclude this series today by spending the sermon not on that message, but on the takeaway, the things we want to leave you with, not only today, but from this whole series. First of all, spend more time than money on the ones you love. That's what they really want anyway. Now, let me give you one way to gauge how much time versus how much money you spend this Christmas on the ones you love. A few years back, a friend asked me if he could have his gift for his wife shipped to my address so she couldn't find it. She was one of those sneaky, look in every closet and every desk drawer and everything to just figure out what it was. You all don't know anybody like that, do you? I laughed a little bit and said, "That's actually a great idea." And then I said, "It must be something really special." And he said, "Well, it should be. It cost me 18 hours of my life." I kind of shook my head, and then he went on to explain. The gift cost him $250. And at the $14 he made an hour, that cost him 18 hours of his life. So however much you spend on gifts for your kids, for your spouse, for your friends, and I'm not saying don't spend on them. I'm just not saying don't get them. Fine, do that. But whatever it is, calculate their value, not in dollars, but calculate how many hours of your life you gave to make that much money. And then determined to give your kid, your spouse, your friends that much of your time as well. Secondly, pause to remember the reason for it all. And I say pause. I'm not saying stop. Enjoy Christmas. I love Christmas. Our small group, one of our small groups this last week, enjoyed one of the best Christmas evenings ever. I mean, we were out in the snow. Jim Hampton was driving a bus. Thank goodness I wasn't driving it. Cars were off in the middle of the road everywhere. We were just driving right along. We saw lights. We saw had music. We had hot chocolate. We had the best company in the world. We thoroughly enjoyed it. We put the kids in a little cage in the back. And I don't think you all knew that, did you? And then the parents kind of stood there in front of it so they couldn't see through the mirror there what we were doing. I'm not saying don't do that stuff. I'm just saying pause. Just pause and remember the reason for it all. Now, I know many of you took the Luke challenge. We'll soon finish Luke's account of the life of Christ just in time for our Christmas Eve service. Those will be a couple of ways to keep Christ as the purpose of Christmas this year. Jesus is still the reason for the season, and we want you to pause to really understand it. The truth is, a lot of things can keep you from Christmas. A lot of really normal life things, just as it did in Bethlehem. The stress of finding the right gifts, wrapping them, paying for them, and preparing for company. They can quickly camouflage Christmas so well that it might disappear altogether. It happened to a lot of people that very first Christmas, and nowhere was it more obvious than in the little town of Bethlehem, the town that slept right through the most important birth in history. Christmas came to Bethlehem, but almost everybody there missed it. Perhaps you will remember Thanksgiving Day in 2003. President George W. Bush had secretly traveled to Iraq to have Thanksgiving dinner with the troops in Baghdad. You remember that? It was a stunning visit for the 600 soldiers gathered in the mess hall, and morale among the troops was through the roof. The soldiers had gathered for what they thought would be a speech by Chief U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer. Bremer told the troops he would read a Thanksgiving proclamation from the president. But then he paused and noted it was always customary for the most senior officer present to read the president's proclamation. When he asked, "Is there anybody back there more senior?" the president himself emerged from behind a curtain, and cheering soldiers were standing on chairs and tables to yell their approval. The unannounced visit not only brought cheers from battle-worn soldiers, it also stunned the nation. It even surprised the president's parents, who were expecting him at the Thanksgiving table at his Crawford, Texas ranch. By the end of the day, the soldiers were back at the business of war, but it had made a huge difference that the president had come to them when they could not come home to their families. The gift of his visit was the highest honor the president could give his troops. Christmas is the season to remember God himself came to us. He was ready to teach, encourage, and make a way for us to see our way home after our particular battles were over. So pause to remember the reason for all this. Thirdly, worship Him. Worship Him. Through the ages, millions have found the gift, realizing He is a God who is so worthy of our worship and praise. Do you agree? The God who demands we trust Him is also the God who first of all gave us a gift, motivated by unspeakable love, so we could know Him personally. The angel's song was worship at its finest. It considered nothing of the circumstances of earth. It only considered the majesty of God. The angels had a view of God that completely blocked their view of anything on earth, and sang as if God alone was worthy of their praise. They sang as if the glory of God was making a difference in the lives of those who lived on earth. Ironically, those on earth were so focused on their circumstances, very few of them caught so much as a glimpse of what the angels saw that first Christmas night. The angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace to all men on whom His favor rests." In other words, this is the best day the world has ever known. Your circumstances are probably very different from any of those in Bethlehem, but perhaps in many ways they are the same. Your circumstances may be a job that applies daily pressures you can hardly stand under. Maybe it's a relationship challenge that dominates your thoughts. It could be a schedule so packed too tightly with things to do, things to buy, things to wrap, things to cook, things to decorate, things to eat, things to attend. You get the point. Perhaps financial pressure has squeezed the joy right out of your Christmas. Or maybe your circumstances have taken a turn toward the painful. Some loss, some illness, some point of grief has taken away any desire to celebrate Christmas or even life. Life is difficult sometimes. But if life is difficult or even too busy, it's possible to miss the truth of the angel's song that broke into the night skies over a troubled Bethlehem. In the midst of your circumstances, be they good or bad, God is worthy of your worship and praise. While circumstances change constantly, God never changes. God's favor still rests on you, even if your circumstances would argue to the opposite being true. Fourthly, I'll say it again, share the news. Share the news. Country music star Travis Tritt spent many years playing out-of-the-way joints before he made it big in the country music industry. In Twang, I found that to be an interesting magazine. In Twang, the ultimate book of country music quotations, he reports that many of the bars he sang in were very dangerous places, with drunk fans starting fights over the smallest matters. But Tritt said he found a unique way to keep the peace in such situations. Here are his words. Silent night proved to be my all-time lifesaver. Just when bar fights started getting out of hand, when bikers were reaching for their pool cues and rednecks were heading for the gun rack, I'd start playing Silent Night. It could be in the middle of July. I didn't care. I'd start playing Silent Night. Sometimes they would even start crying, standing there watching me sweat and play Christmas carols. As it turns out, the song of Christmas is a beautiful one indeed, if people will only hear it. Most in Bethlehem missed the song. Pain and grief and tragedy and busyness got in the way. But for those who were listening, and for those who responded, the gift they received was nothing short of life-changing. Every Christmas, the song plays again with God's constant invitation for us to hear, to believe, and to respond. Now, when we say share the message, let me say these three things. Number one, understand this is the right time for you to share the right message. A woman was doing her last-minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall. Barbie and I just drove past the mall yesterday, and she already started grumbling and calling people names and making snide comments about crazy traffic people who jump from this lane to those lanes with no signal. Or was that me? There was a lot of murmuring going on in the car, okay? This woman was doing her last-minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall. She was tired of fighting the crowds. She was tired of standing in lines. She was tired of fighting her way down long aisles looking for a gift that had sold out days before. Her arms were full of bulky packages when an elevator door opened, and of course, it was full. However, the occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened their ranks to allow a small space for her and her load. As the door closed, she blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads or grunted in agreement. And then from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, honey, they already crucified him." While baking Christmas cookies together, while wrapping presents together, and yes, in a crowded elevator together, this is the right time to share the reason for the season. In fact, it may never be easier than at Christmas to share the message of Christ. It's the right time for you to share the right message to those around you. Secondly, this is the right place for you to share the right message. Few young people grow up thinking their hometown has a chance to produce greatness. And yet Knob Creek, Kentucky produced Abraham Lincoln. Before it had a chance to disappear from the map, and how different the world has been because Knob Creek, Kentucky is the birthplace of Abraham Lincoln. With only 611 people living there, Plains, Georgia produced Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. John Wayne was born in Winterset, Iowa. Population, half the size of Muhammad. Any place, any time, can produce a great leader or an unforgettable entertainer. And this place, our town, happens to be the right place for you to share the right Christmas message. And here's the hard pill to swallow. You are the right person to share the message of Christmas. Not just the preacher. Not just Christian radio. Not just country singers who put out their Christmas albums. You are the right person to share this the right message of Christmas. Who else is going to bring the good news to our community? Frankly, everyone else is too busy at Christmas. At some point, it's important that we realize the best person to reach your family or your circle of friends is you. It's not somebody else's responsibility, and it's probably not even someone else's opportunity. You are here, inside the circle, armed with years of relationships and trust. Find a way to get the message to your area of influence this year. Include a spiritual side to your family celebrations. Include a prayer of faith or even the simple reading of the Christmas story. It was always a tradition at Barb's home. A family that I was very fortunate to become a part of a long time ago. Then on Christmas Day, everybody wanted to get up. Kids wanted to tear into the presents. Just get after it. But before we did that, we'd all sit down, pause, be quiet, and Daddy Jack would read the Christmas story. Then we'd go crazy. Come to our Christmas Eve service with your family and friends and guests. You might have doubts about your ability to deliver the message, or you might be the most confident prophet since Elijah. But each of us, in our own ways, with our own skills, among our own circle of inspiration, has been gifted by God's Holy Spirit to deliver the news of Christmas. Now, what any person does with that message, given at the right time, in the right place, by the right person, is completely up to him or her. Sharing that message is up to you. The decision belongs to you of whether you will just go along with the flow or if you will take that moment to share. Pete Wynn was in his local post office just a few days before Christmas. At the end of his transaction, a very helpful postal worker managed to smile, and the standard line, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" Pete quipped, "Can you help me pay for Christmas?" And without missing a beat, she replied, "He already paid for it." Shocked and with a glimpse of the right Christmas, there in the post office, Pete Wynn found himself better bearings, and he said, "He certainly did." I just paused, took a deep breath. Perhaps that's what we all need to do this morning. And now, before we leave, pray, God, in this place, at this time, use me as that person to give the right meaning of Christmas to someone else. But you know, you can't share what you don't have. If you haven't experienced that true meaning of Christmas, if you have tried to replace Christmas with anything else, it's time to understand that nothing can replace Jesus. You need to accept Him in your life. He's made it easy. He's come to us. He's made it easy. He did away with all the rules and regulations and checklists and things that men put on and imposed on others. Things that they themselves wouldn't do. He gave His Son, not just to be born in a manger, but to die on a cross. And then He gave Him His life back, that He might reign forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Merry Christmas. Father God, this morning, there is a lot going on this Christmas. And as we are now getting not just weeks, but days away from Christmas, the pressure seems to be mounting in so many lives. Maybe we are ahead of the game this year. Praise the Lord if we are. Maybe we've got time to actually enjoy the family and the gifts and the time of just being with friends. Maybe we've got time to not feel like we're stealing from something else to come to a Christmas Eve service or whatever else might be going on in our family's lives. Maybe we're all caught up. That's great. But are we caught up with the real message of Christmas? We've done all the right things. We've bought all the right gifts. We've sent all the right cards. We've prepared all the right food. We are ready for Christmas. Well, this morning, help us to pause just one more time and say, are we really? Are we ready for that real message of Christmas, to understand that on that first Christmas day, Jesus came to visit us, the highest honor God could give to the people He loved, His presence. Help us to take that presence of God with us everywhere we go, whether it's in a crowded elevator or a post office or a shopping mall, and let people know He already paid for it. Whatever decisions we have this morning, Father, let us begin this week coming up to Christmas. Let us begin it in the right frame of mind, with the right attitude, and with the right heart. A heart that is surrendered and accepting Your gift with such graciousness and thanksgiving that the world can't help but notice the difference. And we will worship You. We will praise You. We are so thankful Your favor still rests on us. Glory to God in the highest. In Jesus' name, amen.